All right, good morning, everyone. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. We're in our final message on the Word of God, and I can't think of a better place to end the series than on Psalm chapter 1. Now, I want to do a shout out. All of you that are veterans, would you raise your hand? This Thursday is Veterans Day. All right. Got two over here. One. Give them a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Veterans Day. Yes. And we praise God for all those who have fought on behalf of our country in peace and in war, those that have stood there and protected us. And you know what? The soldiers take the people in the armed forces, they take a lot of heat nowadays, and we ought to be thanking God that our country is being protected rather than putting down the soldiers and the police and everyone else that, firemen, EMTs, these people take a lot of gruff, and we're thankful for them here. And all of you that have been in the service, thank you so much. Well, Psalm chapter 1, before I begin this, I wanted us to keep Barb and Steve's son, Brad, and their daughter-in-law, Lindsay, in prayer because they are on the verge of having, is this their first child or how many? Their second child. Okay, so they got one boy, they got another one on the way. All right, so they're going to be heading out to California tomorrow, and so pray for their traveling mercies all the way to California from Dallas. That's a long trip. Okay, Psalm chapter 1. Now, like I said, this is our final message in this series. In Psalm 1, God's instructing his people on how to have a life that is blessed. Now, what I want you to hear right from the beginning is blessed does not equal millionaire, billionaire. That's not what God means when he says blessed is the man. Blessed is this person. Okay, he's talking about blessing is the person who knows they're walking with God, the person knows they're in tune with God and they're obedient to him. That's what being blessed is, all right? That's what prospering is in God's mind. A person that understands God, understands his word, and wants to do it. Now that's true blessing there. So keep that in mind. Now in Psalm 1, we've got somewhat of a recipe from God. All right, now think about this, and I wanted to point this out, by the way. You got the Psalms, the book of Psalms has 150 psalms, okay? 150 praises to God. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are the introduction to the whole Psalter. Why? Because all through the Psalms, you've got the idea of the person who listens to and follows God's word. What happens to those who do? What happens to those who don't? You see it all through the Psalms, the enemies of God. What's going to happen to the enemies of God? And then what else do you see? Well, you see the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The kingdom of God is everywhere. This kingdom that's coming, this kingdom that we're praying for. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's will to be done on earth like it's being done in heaven right now. That's what we're longing for. It's what Teresa was talking about. And so you see the idea of those who listen to God and follow his ways and his word, those who don't listen to him, what they have in store, and then this idea of how wonderful the kingdom of God's going to be. So interesting that Psalm 1, who's blessed, who's cursed? Psalm 2, the kingdom of God. Psalm 1 begins, blessed is the man. Psalm 2 ends, blessed is the man. So you got an Oreo cookie there. Blessed, and all the goodies in between. So that's in a lot of scholars' minds, that's proof that Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are introducing basically the theme of the entire Psalter, the kingdom of God, and the blessings on those who listen to God, the cursings on those that don't. All right? So with that in mind, we're going to talk about God's recipe this morning for divine blessing. You know, Colonel Sanders, he had that secret recipe he always bragged about, right? You remember when he'd come on, when he was still alive? Now they've got a guy that just looks like him on the KFC commercials. But he'd come on there and he'd talk about my secret recipe. Well, you know what? Very few people knew that secret recipe. I think that I heard on one interview that like three people at any one time knew what that recipe was. And they had to guard it and guard it. They didn't give it to more than three. I guess they thought there would never be three heart attacks at one time, so surely some person would be alive that would know what the rest. Hopefully they didn't fly on the same plane, but anyway, nonetheless, he had a secret recipe, but guess what? When it comes to God, his blessings is not a secret recipe. His blessings are right here before our eyes, and we're going to look at them right here in Psalm 1. So let's read about these ingredients we need as his people to flourish spiritually. We're going to start reading at verse 1. Okay. It says in verse 1, blessed is the man, or blessed is the person. Okay, that's a generic man. Okay, blessed is the person who walks not, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? Okay, first of all, the person who is blessed rejects the advice of ungodly people. I'm going to give you three A's here. Three A's. Okay, this isn't my message, but this, I'm just going to give you this because we're going to camp in Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. But this first person here who's blessed doesn't listen to the advice of the ungodly. Okay, next, it says on the next slide, or here, nor stands in the path of sinners. Okay, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now notice that. The blessed person doesn't stand in the path where evil people are at. Okay? You want to be blessed? You want the best possible life here on earth? Well, you can't be hanging out with people who are going to pull you down. Okay? And that's why God so emphasizes, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? Why do I want you to get together? So iron sharpens iron, the book of Proverbs says. So good people help other people be good. We got to sharpen one another. All right? And so, second, the believer who's blessed rejects the actions. That's the second A. First, advice. Second, actions. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. All right? So that's the second A. What's the third? Okay, the third is this next slide. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Scornful are mockers. Scornful people are people that mock other people. They put them down. You know, like if you're in a place of employment where there's a lot of evil people and they are coarse and they tell dirty jokes and they use bad language. And if they find out that you're a Christian and you say, oh yeah, absolutely, I love God, I love the things of God, they'll mock, they'll scorn you. And it says, listen, you want to be blessed? Don't you find yourself sitting in the seat of the scornful. Don't do what pagans do and get judged for. Okay? So in verse 1, you got to say no to their advice and their opinions. Number 2, you got to say no to their actions. They're sinners. Number 3, you've got to reject their attitude, scorn, mockery, deriding other people. That's no way to be blessed. That's not God's recipe to blessing. God's recipe is to reject all those. Not walking in their advice, not standing in their path, not sitting in their chair. And there's a downward slide there, as you can see. Okay, now, if verse 1 tells us what we need to reject, look at this next verse. It tells us what we need to revere, what we need to not reject, but what we need to revere, what we need to love and put on a pedestal. The blessed person, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in Scripture. The Bible, okay? And The blessed person, in his law, God's law, he meditates day and night. Okay, let's continue to read here. We'll come back to that. He shall be like a tree. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Wow, it's an evergreen. The leaves don't turn yellow and fall off. It's always green. His leaf won't wither. Whatever he or she does shall prosper. Okay? And this idea, again, and I'm going to give you some quotes later, but this idea of prospering doesn't mean, woo, look at my bank account. Woo, look at it go off the charts. That can be included in that, but it's not to say, God's not saying here, hey, listen, y'all, if you listen to me, you'll all be millionaires. No, that's not what God's saying. Now, if he gives people wealth, wonderful. Then they can support God's kingdom, okay? They could be generous to others in need, okay? So when you turn to Psalm chapter 1, everyone, you're not getting tips on how to win this in the stock market, okay? You're not getting tips on how to win on the stock market or how to be the next millionaire or billionaire. You get something that's infinitely better. And what is that, everyone? That is God's recipe for divine blessing. And by the way, that recipe and that blessing and that prosperity is not based on your bank account. It's not based on how many degrees you have on your wall from college. It's not based on how well you can speak in public. None of those. None of those. Hallelujah. You know what? You don't have to be somebody that I can get up and talk for hours like me. Laugh. All right. That's right. You like those short sermons, right? All right. So, God's recipe for divine blessings is available to every single one of you. If you'll do what Psalm 1 says and meditate in his word, all right, you get into his word. And again, that doesn't mean you walk around like people do with phones. And you've seen those funny videos. I'm backing up from the mic. I keep forgetting I'm using this today. And the guy's walking through the mall and he's not even paying attention and he walks right into the fountain. Okay, that's not what God's saying, meditate day and night, where you're just all the time quoting scripture. You know what, really, we're going to see what it means is that it's talking about somebody that's thinking about God's word and how it should apply to life. You know, you read God's word, and then you think about it. Well, what does that mean for my life? How do I put that into practice? That kind of thing. Not walking around day and night and just quoting scripture to yourself, okay? No, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not exactly what God's talking about. He's talking about pondering it to see how you can put it into practice in your life and seeing how that works. So, everybody, I already gave you the title, but I'm going to repeat it. The title for today is God's recipe for divine blessing. I mean, I think every one of you here, I can't think of a better way to end this series because I can't think of something that everyone in here, you just have to be saying, I want this. I want this. Okay? So let's pray, and then we will get right into this message. Father, use this in all of our hearts and lives today. Lord, please help everyone to see how important and crucial this is, how important the Word of God is in their life. And we pray it in your precious name, Jesus, and for your sake. Amen. Well, in just 18 days, everyone, we will celebrate Thanksgiving. And, oh, doesn't that look good? We will celebrate Thanksgiving 18 days away. All of you cooking up a storm will know that it's so important that every ingredient in the dish that you are preparing is important, right? You can't leave ingredients out. You do it to the detriment. Now, some of them you might be able, and yet it's just still not as great as it could be. If you put too much of something in to the entree, or you leave it in the oven too long, that will ruin it every time. All right? Now, as we read Psalm 1 earlier, here's what we saw in pictorial view. Okay, everybody look at the screen. That's Psalm 1:1 in a picture. And it shows that somebody that does this, that rejects that doesn't reject the ungodly, their advice, and doesn't reject what to avoid. They don't avoid standing in the path of sinners. They don't avoid sitting in the seat of the scorner. See, they're going down. First, they're walking. Then they stop, and they're hanging out with the evil people. And then they're sitting with them around the table, at the restaurant, in the college dorm, wherever. They're sitting around, and they're just mocking. Hey, did you hear that girl in class today? She was talking about Jesus and all that. Psh! And they mock, and they deride, and they just put down. They're just bullies. So, folks, if we don't reject walking in the advice or the counsel of the ungodly, if we don't reject standing in the path of sinners, hey, you know when it's okay to stand in the path of sinners? When you're telling them the good news about Jesus. That's a great time to hang out with them. If you want to take them out for lunch and say, hey, listen, I wanted to take you out for lunch because I wanted to tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me. That's fine. But this is talking about, hey, we're going to have drugs and alcohol this Friday night. Why don't you come and stand with us, hang out with us? That's where you say, no, no. All right? And then, because if you don't, then pretty soon, guess what? You're going to be here standing with them, but pretty soon you're going to be sitting down. You're getting comfortable, mocking what God says is good. Okay? So I always wanted you to see that. Bad advice, bad actions, bad attitudes. That's what we need to avoid. Now, in contrast, you get to verse 2, and we saw the spiritual ingredients. Up here on the screen, these are what we're going to throw in our turkeys and everything like that, all these different beautiful spices. God's given us so many different things that are delicious to eat. You put them in there, and boy, you get some good stuffing or dressing, and you know how it is. I mean, it's just wonderful, okay? So we got verse 2, the spiritual ingredients if we want a life blessed of God, a life that brings God joy, that brings us joy. Look at verse 2 again, okay? The blessed person's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law, that person meditates day and night, okay? So the person who is blessed, number one, loves God's word. Number two, ponders life. This is what this is. He ponders life in view of what God's word says. Pondering. Wonder what this means. Why does God say this in this chapter in the Bible? And you think. You don't just read it and say, oh, I have no idea what that is saying. Well, think about it. Start to think a little bit. Take a moment. I do it all the time. I'll read something. I'll be reading my Bible and That's fine. I understand that. I'm getting that. Then I'll read a verse and I'll say, why did God put that there? And I'll stop. This is meditating. This is thinking. Okay? And this is how the blessed person processes everything that's happening to him and around him. He's processing it through God's word and through what he knows about it. Now, I don't know if you know this, but did you know that the vast majority of Americans meditate like this day and night? They meditate day and night, the vast majority of Americans. Now, they think continually about life, but not in the way that God wants them to think about it. What do they do? What do we call it? They think about life day and night. They call it worry, right? They call it worry. I think I got a slide. Yeah. Okay. They call it worry. They meditate day and night, but they lay in bed like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then, they just think. Instead of taking life and saying, okay, this is happening to me. How should I think about this? And you know what? We all fail. We all mess up sometimes because we don't think like that. We worry or we get upset. Okay? Jesus says worry is a sin. He commands us not to do it. Because what he desires, here it is. Look on the screen. I love this picture. What God desires for us is to think on his word. You know what? If people were like this little guy in the picture here, we would be Christians would be a lot better off. Unbelievers would be a lot better off. If this world, listen, if all they had was the Ten Commandments and said, hey, just do these, right there, the world would be turned upside down just by following those 10 laws, let alone all the other wonderful advice we get in God's Word. Okay, so what I want to do this morning, very simple today, all right? If you get out earlier than you're expecting, don't have a heart attack, okay? Because I've got 5 points, but I don't think I'm going to spend a whole lot of time on any one of these. But I want to give you 5 incredible results. They're found in verse 3. 5 incredible results of being this kind of person who delights in God's Word, meditates in it, thinks about it day and night. If you'll be that person, you're going to get 5 blessings from the hand of God. Number one, your life will have lasting value. How many of you, when you die, want to look back and say, you know what? My life mattered on this earth. I did good with the life that God gave me. Not as much as I would have liked to, but I did. I look back and I'm thankful for what God allowed me to do. Your life will have lasting value. Why? Because it says there, you'll be like a tree. Let's just stop right there on that. The blessed person will be like a tree. What's one of the blessings of a tree? Okay, right away I heard it. Shade. Okay, Grayson, what's a blessing of a tree?
Firewood.
Firewood. Very good, Jeff. What grows on trees, Grayson? What? Oh, what's he saying? Leaves? Okay, leaves, all right. Hey, and that's right, because you know what? Animals will eat those leaves. Birds will take those leaves and make nests out of them. Jeff talked about firewood. I went by a pile of a guy selling it on the side of the road this morning, a big pile of firewood. What else, Catherine? What'd you say?
Oxygen.
Oxygen, yes. Oxygen. So, there's a lot of blessings from a tree in our lives. As we're in tune with God, with His Word, you know what? It's just going to be there. It's just going to happen. It's going to be a side effect, okay? Now, notice it says, it doesn't say he will be like grass. He shall be like grass. Why? Because in the Bible, grass is pictured as being temporary. Grass grows and it gets mowed down. Now, there's blessings of grass, too. I mean, it's nice to walk on grass rather than on gravel, you know. I mean, I'd rather walk on zoysia than on, decomposing granite. But nonetheless, it's still temporary. God uses grass in the Bible as a picture of that which comes and goes. You know, what's going to start happening to our lawns now, unless we have winter rye, they're going to start turning yellow and they're going to go dormant, so on and so forth. Grass gets mowed down, but trees that have roots that go deep into the soil and branches that soar high, birds can make nests there. Squirrels. I don't know if squirrels live in trees. I don't know. They do. Okay. Trees can last for centuries and even for millennia, I should say. There's trees in Israel that they believe that they might have been there when Jesus, you know, like trees that were in the Garden of Gethsemane, that there are trees there that might have been trees that Jesus knelt by. Literally, they're still there 2,000 years later. So, number one, when you love the Bible, your life's going to make an impact not only in the present, not only on your children, not only on your great-grandchildren. It's going to make an impact now, but it's going to make an impact in eternity. Your life will have lasting value. Okay, number two, your life will be securely rooted. Listen, you want stuff to be rooted when the hurricanes come. You want stuff to be rooted. You know, you see it on the television news. If a tornado comes through or a hurricane goes through Corpus Christi or to down in Louisiana, in New Orleans, what do you see? You see one video after another of these trees that weren't healthy. They didn't have deep roots. And you know what? You see them. They tip over and look. Do you see long roots hanging out? No. You see like straggle that's there that, what word am I looking for? It's straggly. And it's just hanging there like about two feet long. You don't see these giant roots just stretched out of the ground. Sometimes you do. And if you do, there's not many of them. But if it has a good root system, man, the winds can blow against that and it just does not topple them. Okay? The psalmist says here, Jesus also talks about this, but the psalmist says, you'll be like a tree planted. That's the word here, planted, securely rooted by the rivers of water. So when the storms come, trees that are healthy, have good root systems, will stand. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the two builders. One built his house on the rock, the other built his house on sand. And what happened? The storms came, the winds blew, the rain fell, and one house stood, the other house collapsed. Why? Because it was built on sand. It didn't have a foundation. And so what the psalmist is saying here, you want a life that's securely rooted. When the worst things that you can imagine happen to you and you can handle them, you can deal with them, doesn't mean you're not going to weep tears. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You're going to rebound. We all have to cry. You know, God, the psalmist said, God, you put my tears in a bottle. And what he's saying there is the Lord remembers. He's got a collection of all the tears we've ever shed. We're going to shed tears in this life. It gets really rough sometimes, but guess what? Man, if you're securely planted, a person of God's word, whew, it's awesome. Number three, your life's not only going to have lasting value and be securely rooted, but your life will be well nourished. Now look, we don't want to be like the pictures we see on TV of children and adults in third world countries where they have been malnourished and they don't even have any fat on their body. All they have is like a layer of skin and they have a skeleton underneath it. Why? They're not well nourished. They have a skeleton covered with skin and it's so sad. In fact, I saw one guy, he was trying to get his God's attention, and I have a picture of a guy that has a body just like that. He must weigh 60 pounds, but it was over in India, and he's sitting. I think I might have put it on the screen one time, and he's sitting on a bed of nails. He's got all these nails sticking out. Could you imagine how that hurts when you don't have any padding? He's just sitting on those nails are going right into the nerves and everything, and he's hopefully trying to get a hold of his false God that they'll come and he'll come and help them. But our lives will be well nourished. Notice in our scripture here, planted where? Where are you planted? By the rivers of water. Hey, everybody, I'm going to take 5 seconds here and say, we all need to drink a lot of water. Okay, did you hear me? Listen, I got this giant cup with Dak Prescott on the side. Tervis tumbler. How many of you know what a Tervis tumbler is? Okay. It's those ones that keep the stuff cool when you put it in there. So I've got one with Dak Prescott and another one with the Dallas Mavericks on it. And listen, I have one in the living room. If I sit down there to read the scripture, I have that one loaded up with water. Then I go in my office. I've got another Tervis tumbler loaded with water. If you drink a lot of water, a vast majority of your health problems will go away. And the Bible says, spiritually, a lot of your health problems will go away if you're planted by the rivers of water. And of course, God's word is living water. It's the place to come for life, spiritually. You come to the tap in your kitchen for water, physically. You come to God's word for this life-giving water, spiritually. All right? We need lots of water. When you love the word, you're like a tree whose roots go down into the river. It's by the rivers of water. Those roots go, and guess what? When it gets really hot, there's no leaves falling off that tree. It's green as can be. Why? Because those roots are sucking the water out of the river. And you know what? We need to be the same way spiritually. You know, that's why when it gets hot outside, you have to have a drink of water. Or else you'll just keel over. Or man, you'll start having cramps in your calves and it feels like somebody took a rope and tied it to two car bumpers and they started driving in opposite directions. That's when you get a cramp, it's just the most painful thing. It instantly tells you that you're not drinking water. I've gotten them on many occasions. I'm out working in the yard. It's too hot out. You're sweating bullets. And, you know, I've got another cup. Kelly, where'd we get that cup? Do you remember? Okay. At some sporting goods store, but I'm serious. The cup is this big around, and it's that high. And its walls are this thick, an inch thick, but it's all plastic. And they put a lid on it and a big plastic straw. And Kelly, when I'm out there, she just knows it. She'll come out on the back porch, bonk. She puts that giant cup down with like a gallon of water in it. I'm like, yes. And then I'll drink like a gallon of water in 10 seconds. And then all of a sudden something else bad starts happening because I did it too fast. But anyway, if it could get really hot outside, and by the way, in our lives it can get really hot. We could go through the fire of trouble, the fire of pain, the fire of betrayal, the fire of animosity. And thank God we could come to his life-giving word and say, oh Lord, I'm all torn up inside. I need you, Lord. And he'll say, here, have a drink. Have a drink. Okay? You're not dropping leaves if you're this kind of Christian. You're not turning yellow. The verse says later, your leaf shall not wither. You're going to be an evergreen. So that's number three. Number three, your life, if you're a person of God's word, is going to be well nourished. Two more. Number four, oh, there it is, whose leaf shall not wither. Okay? You're planted by the rivers of water. Your leaves, Grayson, aren't going to turn yellow. They aren't going to wither. They're not going to dry up and fall off, and you have to rake them. Okay, number four. Your life, this is kind of like the earlier one, but your life can be beneficial to others. And we see that in this idea of fruit. Man, isn't fruit good on fruit trees? Man, I'm telling you what. Your leaf will not wither. You'll be a person that brings forth its fruit in its season, in its perfect timing. It's not like continual. They're just falling off of you. No, there's a time of growing in the Word, studying, taking God's Word in, and then there's a season of fruitfulness because of that. You are meditating, you're growing, you're staying close to Jesus, staying close to his word. Listen to this saying. A tree doesn't yield fruit for its own consumption, but for the consumption of others. A tree doesn't make fruit so the tree can eat the fruit. Now, you might see that in a Disney movie, like they have trees with mouths and noses on them, or in The Wizard of Oz, and the tree branch is like a hand. It doesn't pick its own fruit and eat it. No, a tree is for the benefit of others, the fruit. Okay? So you're blessed so you can be a blessing to others. Okay? Look at this next slide. Okay? You got Coke machines. You know what? When you put coins in a Coke machine, now you put credit cards in them, but if you put coins in a Coke machine, what do you expect? You expect to get a Coke, right? Okay? You put coins in, you're expecting Coke out. But if a Coke machine takes in money and doesn't give Cokes out, this is what they put on the Coke machine. Okay? That machine is out of order. A Christian that takes and takes and takes and takes and takes and takes and doesn't give out, something wrong. A person can say, oh, I love God, I love his word, oh, yeah, and they make all these things, but you know what? It's all taking and not giving out and being a blessing. Well, we're out of order. We're out of order, all right? The woman or the man who is blessed of God is like an evergreen. This is what an evergreen looks like. We have this exact tree in our front yard. When I was about, we moved to our new house in 1961, I was 1 year old. And my mom and dad put this type of evergreen on one side of our front yard and on the other. But in our old movies, they're like about 4 feet tall. But when we sold my mom's house in 2008, which was, you know, almost 40 years later, 50, almost 50 years later, 47 years after we moved into that house, those trees were like 35 feet tall. And you know what was sad is the young couple that bought the house off of my mom, they cut the trees down. And I can tell you what happened. Mark, we were talking about this earlier. I can tell you what happened. is that next night after they, my house was right on a corner, so it had two stop signs. So what you would hear all night long, and in Indiana, you don't close the windows in the summer because you don't need air conditioning. You just open your window and it's a cool breeze coming in. And so these cars, mostly teenagers' cars, they come up to the stop sign. You know, they love to burn out and make all that noise coming out of their exhaust pipes. Well, when those trees were there, that cut down on a lot of, you still heard it, but man, I can imagine when they cut those things down and those people stopping and starting all night long out there, that they said, what did we do? Because those things were gigantic. In fact, they took up the whole, I mean, they were up against the house nearly and up against the sidewalk nearly. That's how big they had got around the base. But they cut them down. And I hope they gave them to some city, because they would have been a spectacular Christmas tree for the city to put up and decorate. But anyway, this is what the man and woman who is blessed is like. Always green. You know what? It never dropped needles and that kind of stuff. Maybe a little bit, but all year round it was green and flourishing. And that brings us to our next point. Not only are you going to be beneficial to others, number four, but finally, your life is going to flourish. Your life is going to flourish. Whatever he or she does shall prosper. All right? And again, we want to get away from this idea of every single thing I do will succeed and I'll never fall on my face. That's not the idea here. The idea here is, since I'm taking in God's word, I'm taking in this wonderful water of life, as I live my life, in conjunction with that, I will be obedient with God. And when I'm obedient with God, I'm prospering. I'm prospering. I'm succeeding. Because you will be eternally rich. Now, you may be greatly blessed down here. I know I have been. I know God has been so good to me, way beyond any idea of deserving this. I mean, he's just so good and kind. But nonetheless, everybody, what we want to realize is that our most important way of flourishing and prospering is to the glory of God. The Old Testament scholar Alan Ross said this. He said, this prospering is not, quote, listen, a blanket statement promising unlimited success, unquote. And he goes on to say that it must be understood in its context. You have to understand that word prosper in the context of Psalm chapter 1, okay? And this is another thing he said, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Alan Ross says, if, and that's a big if right there, if the righteous meditate in God's word, they will live in obedience to it. And doing that is what will succeed. I think he's right on the money. I think he's right on the money. Hey, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people, like for instance, they give their lives up for Jesus. They go on the mission field. And you know what? They don't become millionaires. Sometimes they get executed. Either by the Taliban. Back in the 50s, it was the Auca Indians down in South America that took several missionary men and left them, their wives and their children behind with no father. But guess what? To die for Jesus is like the ultimate prosperity. Can you imagine when you're standing before Jesus? So, what did you do for me? Well, Lord, I went down to South America and I tried my best to bring people to you, but one day, one of those guys pulled out a spear and it went right through me and I was killed doing your work. Listen, talk about eternal riches. But you know what? Our lives can be blessed just the same. You don't have to be on a mission field. Listen, you get in God's word, you obey God's word, you live by it, you think about it, you put it into practice. I'll guarantee you on the basis of God's word, what you do will prosper in the eyes of God, and you'll get to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You keep his works till the end, and you're going to hear his blessings on your life on earth. Perfect? No, but guess what? There's never been a human being who ever lived that was perfect except one, and we know his name, Jesus. He was the only perfect human. Everyone else were multiplied failures. Some of the greatest servants of God. Moses murdered a man. David committed adultery. I mean, you've got these sins that are at the top of the Ten Commandments that God says don't do. Hey, guess what? Newsflash, God will reward people that finish well. They said, man, I really messed up there, but for the rest of my life, I'm going forward. Okay? So, Jesus, his life, it seemed to end in defeat. Okay? His life seemed to end. What do you mean he prospered? They took him and nailed him to a cross and they hung him on a cross. What do you mean is all he does will prosper? Yes, because he did that, all of us in this room that are saved and will be with God forever and ever was because he became a failure, quote unquote, by being put on a cross. It wasn't failure. It was the ultimate sacrifice for the glory of God. And millions and millions, who knows, maybe billions of people across time. Experts say there might have been 60 billion people who have lived on earth since God created Adam and Eve. But there may even be billions of people that'll be in God's eternal kingdom because of what Jesus did. Now there's going to be a lot more that aren't, because they shunned God. They said, no, God tried to draw them. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. That was their lifetime mantra. All right, final story and we're done. On October 19th in 2020, a test was conducted at the Institute for Business and Home Safety in Richburg, South Carolina. Researchers constructed two 1,300 square foot homes. Okay, now think about this. Think of how big this science lab has to be to fit two 1,300 square foot homes in it. It's a $40 million laboratory. Then they observed how a simulated hurricane would impact the homes. Okay, so what they did, they got these two 1,300 square foot homes, two stories. They could turn this machine up to where the winds would blow like 150 miles an hour. But they didn't do it that intense. They started like on a category 3, which is like 110 miles an hour, I think. I think that's correct. Yeah. Okay. One of the homes, everything was connected with these building devices, where the foundation's connected to the, you know, the studs, and the studs are connected, the first floor is connected to the second floor is connected to the roof. And it's not just nailed in, it's got these heavy-duty straps. The article doesn't really describe them, but it just says it was all connected, it was all interconnected, one of the 1,300 square foot homes. The other home was just a typical home. Nail, 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 okay, you nail it all together, okay. So what they did, for 10 minutes, they turned on the wind, and both of them survived for these intense 110 mile an hour winds. They both survived, no problems, for 10 minutes each. Okay, so that's pretty intense. However, when they went beyond 10 minutes, okay, they tried a third experiment. They turned the fans on for more than 10 minutes. The conventional home began to shake, and then it finally just collapsed. It could only do it for 10 minutes, and then right after that, it began to teeter and totter. But guess what? The other house was absolutely fine. They left the fan running and running and running, and it just couldn't do it. Now, if maybe they turned it up to 150, maybe it would do it in. But a category 3, if it was designed and built that way with those special retaining straps, well then it would be just fine in a 110 mile an hour hurricane, no matter how long it lasted. All right, only the roof and the reinforced roof sustained cosmetic damage. That was it. So it probably was chunking shingles. Now here is the final quote I want to give you, and then we're going to pray. Tim Reingold, he's an engineer, he's working on this experiment, and he made a summary of this entire experiment, and I'm going to put it on the screen. But this is what he said. The bottom line you have to ask yourself is, Which house would you rather be living in? All right, and man, anybody, all of us, the youngest of you say, well, man, I want to live in the one that doesn't collapse. Okay, well, then why don't we want to think that way spiritually? Okay, why don't we want to think that way spiritually? Why don't we want to take God's word and meditate in it and drink it in and take it in and get our roots down deep into God's word, so when the winds blow in our lives and trouble comes and all kinds of things are hitting you, you know what? That tree is doing just fine, okay? Now, if it's a hurricane, maybe some of the leaves are getting knocked off, but guess what? It's not being uprooted, okay? That's how I wanted to end this series. How are you doing with God's holy word? How are you doing? Are you taking it in? Are you pondering it? Do you read it sometimes and just stop and say, what does this mean? And you try to dig down and you try to get down to the bottom of it. You know what? That should be something that's very, very regular in your life. I'm not going to say that every single day, if you don't, like for instance, I would never say, if you don't read your Bible for X amount of time every day, then you're sinning against God, okay? Because the Bible doesn't say that. But like for instance, you know what, if I handed out paper to all of you and I say, how many days in the month of October did you read the Bible? Out of 31 days, how many days did you read it? You know what? We would be able to put stats up on the screen. We would be able to say, 50% said they never read it. Or 30% said they read it. Out of 31 days, they read it 10 days. And 20% said they read it every other day. And 2% or 5% said they read it nearly every day. But you get the idea. There would be this chart that would be going all over. And that, listen, that's just reality. But what I'm saying to you is, where would you be on that chart? And what do you need to do to change that? Okay? Because you know what? Even taking God's word for 10, 15 minutes, or for 30 minutes, if you even, even a small amount of time in God's word is better than no time in God's word. The better thing is to be able to take your time and to read it and to think about it and to ponder it. That's even better. But nonetheless, I just wanted you to take this message today and realize all of these amazing advantages of those who reject the bad and then through the Word of God receive the good. Just in two verses, five amazing benefits. Let's bow our heads for prayer, everyone, and we'll have some prayer together. Father in heaven, I pray for your people. I pray for their lives. I pray for their connection with your word. Lord, the world around us often gets so much time in our lives that it saps us of time that we could have in your word. And of course, Lord, you're not asking us, you don't say anywhere in your Bible, well, if you don't spend 2 hours or an hour in my Bible every day, then I'm not even going to bless you. But Lord, if we pick up your word regularly, and maybe we'll start at 10 minutes, and then we begin enjoying it so much we do it for 15, and then for 20, and then for 25, and so on, and listening to it. And listening to podcasts and listening to messages and sermons and things, Lord. Oh, Lord, just pray for your people. God, the Word of God, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Lord, how we need it. Lord, I pray that you would put your hand on your people and that you would help them more and more to get into your Word, to take their time. Lord, our Bibles are written, even the New King James, on a very readable level, on an eighth grade reading level. Some of the newer Bibles are even lower than that. They go down to like the third grade level, I believe. But Lord, nonetheless, It's not impossible. So God, give us grace, give us help as we study your word. And then let us turn to be fruitful to other people, Lord, to use the blessings you've given us to touch other lives, to bring people to you. And Lord, help this week to be an amazing week, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all of your people said, amen. All right, thank you, everyone. Hey, by the way, I wanted to share with you, I had the privilege of talking to a lady from Israel yesterday, and I had the joy of dropping a few gospel seeds into her heart and her life, so pray for that lady. I asked her if she would be willing to read the Gospel of John and watch the video series called The Chosen, and she put them on her phone and she said she would do it. So I was very encouraged. She's just visiting from Israel. One of the things I asked her, I said, can you speak and read Hebrew fluently? And she said, yes. And I said, can I have your brain? I said, I'd love to open a Hebrew Bible and read that. That would be so awesome. All right. Hey, everybody stand, enjoy each other's company. Have a wonderful week, everyone. God bless.